we're going to be doing better after we're done here today. I mean, it's a good time to come into church and just rejoice together, worship the Lord, have some fun together. That's what church is about. Coming together, loving God together, and rejoicing for what He's done in our lives, right? Amen. All right, so it's awesome what Brad was talking about earlier. We were talking about service and everything. So today I'm actually going to be talking about the culture of service. But before we get started, I'd like to pray real quick. But I want to pray something specific that was on my heart today. And give me a second to pull up. Here we go. This is a little bit quicker for me. So in Ephesians, there's some prayers in Ephesians that are quite awesome. Some of them I would suggest that you pray over yourself, over your family, consistently, because you'll reap a great benefit from it. And you can read along with me if you'd like to, but I'm going to pray it over us today. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 21, 14 to 21. Heavenly Father, I bow my knees to you right now, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would give you, according to the riches of his glory, power to be strengthened by his Spirit, that he would give us the power to be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in all of your hearts and mine as well through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or in us, to him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Oh. So, I spent quite a bit of time on this. It was about a month ago, maybe a little bit more, that God just started speaking to my heart about the word minister. Got my water today. Yeah. I knew I'd need it 2 seconds in. He was talking to me about the word minister. And what does it actually mean? So, when we think of minister, when I first thought of the word minister is, you know, pastor going and helping people in the church, loving on people. It was mostly just the main leaders of the church. That's what they did. But as I actually looked into it and I read, it was saying minister to God. Well, how does that work? And I found out that minister means simply to serve, right? It's to serve God. So he called his priest to serve God. He set him aside to serve God. And you see that in Exodus 28:1. Where he set aside Aaron and his sons to minister to God. They were made priests, right? And the really interesting thing about that is, what did we all become when we accepted Jesus? Priests, right? So what are we called to do? What are we set aside for, right? The same thing. The same thing, to serve God, to minister to God. So it's not just the leaders of the church, it's every single one of us in our relationship with Jesus. And speaking about relationship, I got thinking about that as well, our relationship with Jesus. The common thread of today is, it's not a religion, it's a relationship with Jesus, right? But sometimes we get so caught up in that, in saying that, that we actually forget to have a relationship more than face value with Jesus. We say it, but we have more of a relationship with the TV, with our phones, with social media, than we do with Jesus. We have more of a relationship with the devil than we do with Jesus sometimes. We listen to what he's saying to us more than we listen to what God's saying to us. See, our relationship has to be more than just that face value. Our relationship includes many things, and I'm going to list some off, but it's not just these things. We're to be a son and a daughter. We're to be his friend. He called us his friend because he shares the mysteries of heaven with us, because he calls us his friend. We're called to be priests, as I just mentioned a moment ago. We're his bride. We're his bride. And ultimately, we were created solely to serve God. When we accept him, he changes our heart. When we actually love him, he changes our heart to be a life of servitude to him, to God, because he's our Father and we love him because he first loved us, right? There's something I want to read. I'm going to read it. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 9, talks about being in a royal priest, being a royal priesthood, a holy nation, chosen people. But then you go down to 16 and 17. If you skip down to 16 and 17, let me get there real quick. I should have marked this, guys. There we go. Down to 16 and 17, I want to read this because it's very, very important that we understand this. I went too far. As free people, do not use your liberty as a covering for evil, but live as servants of God. So we were set free from sin, and we must put it aside. We're a new creation. We're co-crucified with Jesus on the cross, and we've been made new. And we no longer have the excuse possible for us to live any longer in sin or have the consciousness of sin. Yeah, we all mess up when we make mistakes, and we have the ability to sin continually even after we accept Jesus, because our mind can get fixed on the things that are not of God, right? We could get our mind thought of, on things of, I need to work more. I need more money. We all can relate to that, right? I need more money. I don't have enough things in my house. I need a bigger house. I need a prettier house. I need a prettier car. We get fixed on these things of the world, right? And it takes our mind off of Jesus. And when that happens, we can fall in sin quite quickly. So don't let it cover your evil. Don't make an excuse for yourself to live in sin. There's no excuse, right? So if you're living in sin and you have this, well, but this and well, but that, stop. There's no excuse. He set us free from sin, from the bondage of sin. Now, don't live in condemnation of making a sin. I mess up. I mess up so often sometimes I think I'm not saved sometimes, right? But it's the walking into repentance and not continually living in the same sin over and over and over again that sets me apart from the people that don't have Jesus. I'm getting to where I'm going. This is culture of service, but I'm laying a foundation of the importance of our relationship with God. Because anything of service, any servitude comes from the foundation of loving God. The great commandment that Jesus gave us is to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That was the first one that you get, the most important one, right? And then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But you can't love your neighbor as yourself, and you can't even love yourself until you learn to love God, meaning learning to receive his love, because he's loved us already. You need to learn to receive his love and love him. And out of your love for him, you're going to enter in the servitude of him. And in that servitude, you're going to no longer have your thoughts set on the things that are holding you in sin. They're going to be set free from that. So we accept Jesus. It's no longer us that live, but him that lives in us. 2 Corinthians 5:15, so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed. I want to say that no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him. So if your life is for Jesus, why are you thinking of yourself? Why am I thinking of myself? I do it a lot. Oh, I'm so tired. I want to go home and sleep. I just got done with the long shift. My feet hurt. I can sit there, and these thoughts go through my mind. They're going through my mind all the time. But it's when I accept them and actually put them into action that I'm not following Christ in that moment. Stop putting yourself before God. Anything that is stopping you from hearing him, from listening to him, from the commands that he's having you from day to day in your communion with him, if you're communing with him, you'll listen to him. Hold on a second. Okay, serving God. We must serve God, and we must get out of our own way. Stop serving ourselves and start serving God. If you call yourself a Christian, which I do, and I know many of you do, and I know many of you serve God quite a bit, but I think we all need to look into ourselves of how much we actually do. Because when I look at this church at times, I'm wondering, why don't we have enough people to do worship? Because it's the same people every week doing worship. Why don't we have people being able to rotate into things that you're gifted for? You are gifted for, not me, not Brad, not my wife, not anybody, just one person. But we all are gifted in different ways to be able to serve this church. And it grieves me when I see that only a few are serving in comparison to what it should be. Everyone should be serving. Every single one of you. There's no excuse why you shouldn't be. I don't care if you're tired. I get off a 12-hour shift and come straight to church. And I'm tired. But I'm here for the Lord because he has made me new. He has made me whole. He has restored my life. He has taken me from nothing and brought me into this rich, abundant life that I can live today. I have no excuse to be tired for what he wants me to do. There's a season to work extra hard, and there's a season to not. My season is to work hard right now. And thank you, God, for helping me get my bills paid and getting caught up on the bills I've gotten behind on. Praise you, God, for the people that have given me grace when I didn't deserve it, for the Lord placing them in my life to be able to help me in the times that I've struggled. And I guarantee you, if you are serving God, those people will show up for you too. But if you're not serving God, nobody's going to come and serve you. We're looking for increase into our lives. We want to have more of God. We want to have more of his blessings. But we often forget it's actually through serving that we receive those blessings. So are we listening to God? Are we listening to what he wants us to do? Are we using the gifts that he has given us, that he has blessed us with? If you are a Christian today and you're not using the gifts that he has given you, you're wasting what he has given you. You're wasting it all. We need you. I need you. Even the people I don't even know yet, I need you. We all need you. There's going to be a day that I might be able to help you. I might be able to repay, pay forward the blessings that have been bestowed upon me. And that's my prayer, that God may abundantly bless me so that I can be a blessing to others. It's not for my own self-gain. I don't want money to keep it for myself. I want money to give it to somebody else. And that's what all of our hearts should be. I don't want the ability to play music just because I want to look cool. I want the ability to play music so I can help usher in people to the throne room of God so that they can enter into his presence and worship him corporately together, so that we can enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, so that we can thank God for what he's done and continually doing in our lives. That's why I serve. I don't do it for myself. And nobody that's serving should be doing it for themselves. It should never be for position. It should never be for what you want. It should be what he wants and only what he wants. And if you're doing it for yourself, you need to stop and reevaluate. But I do thank you for serving anyways, even if it is for yourself. I'm still thankful for those people. Because they may get it right as far as, because they're still being a blessing, they're still being used by God. But I just pray for those so that they can receive the heavenly reward that is awaiting for them if they do it for the right reasons. If you do it for the right reasons, there's a reward waiting for you. If you wait, if you just endure the wait, and I'll read that for you shortly. Serving God is sacred. Church is sacred. Our culture has made church not sacred. It has made serving God not sacred. It has made work more important, games more important. Time away from church should never be given up. Whether for the past 3 years, I've made it very, very important to me to be at church. And it's blessed me so much in my growth, in my relationship with God. Because I've been able to pour out what God has given me, and in the return, I receive that blessing that I talked about before. Psalms 37:4, thank you. This is a verse that I got a word from Brad when I first met him. We were talking in line, Dayton, Cincinnati, whichever one. We were talking in line, and then we were about to grab our seats, and he's like, you know what, I got a word for you. And I barely knew him at this point. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen. I'll see what you got. And he referred to Psalms 37:4. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret for those. Oh, sorry, wait. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. That was brought up when I was meditating on this. The Lord brought that back to my memory. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He's not going to give you the desires in your heart that are right now. Before you delight in him, he's going to give you the desires in your heart that will become that will come into your heart from delighting in him. When you delight in him, he'll put the desires, his desires, into your heart, and they will flow through you. And you'll be able to do all the things that he's called you to do with ease. There will be spiritual attack, and there will be some things that come against you, of course. But that's another topic to cover. But you'll be able to do the things that he's called you to do, and you will have every desire you ever wanted. Ever since I gave my life to Jesus and I actually accepted his desires into my heart, everything has been fulfilled that I've wanted. Every single thing. Everything. Standing here before you today, when people were coming against me 3 years ago, saying bad things about me, saying that I was divisive, and none of this was true in the time. I mean, there was a lot of growth that I needed in my life, but there was people that were really coming against me when there shouldn't have been. It should have been a coming behind me and, well, you know what? I see some things that you need help with. Let me help you grow. There was one pastor that did come behind me, and he helped me grow, and he helped me learn a lot of things, but there's a few other people that just wanted to tear me down. But I maintained my delight in the Lord, and I endured the time that he wanted me to endure. Not your time, but his time. And now I get to enjoy pouring into the youth, pouring into young adults, pouring into you guys whenever I get a chance to talk to you, eat with you, and just commune with you, because my goal is never to just receive. I want to pour out. I want to be a living sacrifice. Who wants to be a living sacrifice? Right? You want your life to be that when somebody looks at you and be like, that guy's different. Some people say that before I had Jesus, and he was like, that guy's a weirdo. but no, now they look at me and they're like, just take an example. I work at Amazon Fulfillment Center in Aetna, and I've been there for 2 months, and I work my butt off every single day I'm at work. And every time I go in there, people notice, and they start asking questions. And then they actually open themselves up to let me speak to them. Whether they believe in Jesus or not, I was working next to a man that I had no idea that he was a homosexual, and I was working next to him, and then he says it to me, and I'm like, oh, cool. And then he talks about a Christian persecuting him, telling him that he was a sinner, that he's going to hell, and like fire and brimstone type stuff. And I think fire and brimstone type stuff is good for a good rebuke to a Christian, but somebody that doesn't know Jesus, that really doesn't know Jesus, they need to experience the love of Jesus first. Take an example of the woman at the well, that he loved her and got her to accept the living water, which is Jesus, is what he was doing. And then he called her into repentance after she already accepted him. So we need to first bring them into acceptance. And that's what, I didn't get that far with him, but it burdened my heart that to know, actually it was a person I worked with that I've talked to already, this Christian that persecuted him. And it broke my heart, because that's his view of all of you and me. That's what he thinks all of us are like. That's not the way we want it to be. We need to have a better example. If enough of us are doing the right thing, eventually they're going to say, well, the majority of the Christians are actually pretty awesome. They're really loving and kind. And they help you out, and they serve you, whether you believe in their God or not. Whether you follow the rules or whether you are just getting into Christianity and to loving Jesus and everything. My heart weeps at the bad example that we set inside and outside of these walls for each other. And honestly, it's the leader's fault. We need to do a better job at teaching the right way to serve by showing you how much we love you. I felt lied to most of my life. Going through this, I felt like the church, I was lied to about what church was. This Western culture church, it just has not been what it's supposed to be. Now, this is not saying all of it. This is not all of it. There's a minority that is, I believe, doing the right thing. But there is a majority of Christians, or so-called people that proclaim Christianity. I hear it time and time again. Oh, I'm a Christian. Well, where do you go to church? Oh, I haven't been in church in 6 months. I was reading a book called Letters to the Church by Francis Chan. And he made a statement that when Paul was talking about rebuking somebody and kicking them out of church, giving them up to Satan, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. It was kicking them outside of the church. No longer had the covering of the church. People are removing themselves from the covering of the church and giving themselves up to Satan willingly, because the church is not operating like the Bible wants us to operate. We're not serving one another. We're not sacrificing ourselves for each other. Now, I have to say, I've received a lot of sacrifice from people in this church for me. Few. I want to see that more with you guys. I want to see you guys so on fire with serving God that the only thing that can come out of you is serving each other. Looking for opportunities to help one another out, not waiting for them to come to you. checking up on your brother and sisters that you're close to, because I'm not going to be close to every single one of you. Like, I'm close to my best friend, Brad. I'm close to Pastor Brad and a few others. They're my tight group. I have a few others that I talk to a little bit more often. And then there's a plethora of people that I don't talk to that much. But some of you are really close with others. And it's okay to have those cliques. It's okay as long as we're loving to all people in general and accepting of all things in this church as far as love and loving each other and not like dividing each other. But those people you're closest to, are you checking up on them? Are you calling them? Are you seeing if their bills are paid? Are you seeing if they're healthy? If they had to go to the hospital? If they're doing okay in their job? If they're depressed? If they're full of anxiety? Brad talks about going to talk to his neighbors. I've seen him go talk to his neighbors. I lived with him for 6 months total, like 3 months and then another, well, 5 months, sorry. But I got to really experience who he was. You cannot lie for 5 months when someone's living with you. It's impossible. Ask my wife. She'll tell you, like, before we actually started living together, it was a little bit different. When we started living together, she's really started seeing things that none of you guys see, right? My deep struggles, my skeletons in the closet that God's trying to pull out and get rid of, right? She sees those. But so I got to see how real his service was, not just to this church, but his community around him, to the 3-4 houses around you that he goes to and checks up on his neighbors that don't even believe in God, half of them, right? One that basically was didn't want to see him at all. Like, I remember him talking about did not want to see his face, like, stop bothering me, get away, Brad. You're annoying. I don't want your Jesus. But he still checks up on him and still loves them and doesn't push anything on him. We don't have to push anything on him, our beliefs or anything, but we need to love each other, right? How do people know that we are Jesus freaks? By our love, right? If we're loving one another, if we're serving each other, then they'll know us. But if we're not, when's the last time somebody told you you're a Christian? When's the last time somebody noticed something different about you that's different than anybody else? Matthew 25, 35 through 40, Jesus was talking about, you do all these things to the poor. You do things for the poor. You go see the people in jail. You feed people. All these things that you're doing to them, you've done unto me, right? All the things that you're not doing, you're also doing unto him. You're not doing unto him. Speaking badly of each other. You're speaking badly of God. Not serving one another, you're not serving God. So we first need to serve God. We need to learn to love him. And out of that, we'll learn to serve each other and love each other, right? So, next week, everybody will be signed up to serve somewhere, I'm sure. but it's a life of servitude, a life of servitude, a life of servitude, a life of servitude. It doesn't stop. There's no retirement. There's no, I put in my time. I did that for a while. I don't have to do it anymore. No, you still can help take out the trash. You still can help clean the bathroom. You still can help somebody move. I know some people have helped so many people move, but it doesn't matter. If somebody needs help, step up. If you have the time, of course. We all can't do anything, but we can always do our part when we're available. And I got to be honest, there's times I make excuses to not do something. I make a flat out excuse. I'm tired, but I'm not too tired. I may be tired, but I'm not too tired. Or I make an excuse of, I'll lie. Let's be honest, I'll lie sometimes. It's not good. It's not good. I'm admitting to you right now, and I'm repenting right now. Right now, in front of you guys, there's times that I've lied to people to not do something because I just didn't want to do it. Because I was selfish. It was about me. And Lord, forgive me. I repent. Because my life is for Him, and if my life is for Him, it's for you. Not for me anymore. I have to stop living selfishly. I have to let myself go and let myself die. I am dead, but it's Christ that lives in me. Is Christ living in you, or are you still living? Serving is a life of worship, and I want to talk about this. And Isaiah 29:13 says, "And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote." I didn't understand the word rote. I'm not that smart. Brad probably would have known what it was. So I had to look it up and figure it out, like, what does that really mean, learn by rote? And I figured it was probably some type of repetition, but it is a mechanical or habitual, mindless repetition. I've learned to worship God out of mindless repetition. Does that sound like loving God? Does that sound like really serving? Because your service, if it's out of just repetition, mindless repetition, you're just doing it because you're just doing it, then you're really not doing it. There should be a joy. There. When I get to play, it's hard for Amy to get me to not play. I'll tell you right now. It's hard for her to get me to not play because I enjoy it. It's something inside of me that I just like, I want to do it because I want to serve God. With that thing that's burning inside of you, if it's you're good at cooking, you want to help the kitchen out, they could always use more help. It's usually the same ladies, but they can always use more help. They can use men too. Children need to be washed in the morning. Joyce is doing a wonderful job, but she can't do it every week. What if we all served? If the people that were there for the babies, if they were all helping out, all the people that were gifted in that, and you only had to do it once every 4 months or something, if we had enough. Right now it's like, what, 4 or 5 weeks? You know, we finally got the children's ministry to 5 weeks, which is great. Awesome, but we still use more. We don't have to rely on the same people all the time. We can give people breaks so that they can do something else that they're gifted at, whether you're prophetic, and give a prophecy during service, which we see happen all the time here, and it's amazing, and I love it. 2 weeks ago, who was it? Sandy Connor came up and gave a word, and then the Holy Spirit just dropped on us during that last song that we played, and it just was so amazing. Out of her serving God, she blessed every single person here. That was her service to God through the spiritual gifts that she was given. And that's what I want to talk about next, is you're given gifts, some of helps, some of prophecy, some of words of knowledge, some words of wisdom, some, well, there's just a bunch of stuff. And they're all amazing, and we all need to experience them. You know what? I'm going to be really vulnerable with myself because I just feel like I'm being called to do this right now. And I hope I don't offend this person, and I hope I don't make this person angry, but there was a person here that I didn't really care for too much when I first started coming to this church because I was too worried about who they were instead of who God was in them. Right? And then when I actually realized the God that was in them was so amazing, I actually was like, oh man, this person is so wonderful. And I love this person so much, and I wish it never took me that long. And this person actually prayed for me today. I love you, Debbie. You're a good sister. You're a woman of God, and you have so much more than I do. And I just strive to have the relationship with God that you do. And I want to honor you with those words right now. I thank you for being who you are and the woman of God that you are. So, when people are not using their gifts, we're sick. We need the whole body. If we're not having everybody using everything, the church is sick. Until we get everybody doing everything, the church is sick. I don't want to be sick anymore, guys. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to give God less than what he deserves. I want him to come and walk into this church, his Holy Spirit to walk in here and say, wow, this is my place. And there's times that he doesn't come in here because it's not. There's times that it feels a little bit flat. We probably all have felt those days. And we're just like, church was just kind of flat today. And it's not because God wasn't wanting to come here. It's because we couldn't let him come here because we weren't honoring him. He's not going to come where we're not honoring him. We're not serving each other and serving him. Not loving him, not loving each other. You want to see this church ignite and be fun and swinging off the chandeliers that we no longer have? If you want that, if you want the Holy Spirit to really enter your life, when you come here ready to serve God. You don't come here to just feed yourself. Poor me. No, you come here to be with other people and serve other people. It's not about you when you come here to church. It's not about you. It's about God. Now you can come Wednesday and get fed. You can come to any home groups we have in Newark, and we have one at Brad's house. You can go there and get fed. We also, Evie, you have a Bible study as well still going on. Evie has a Bible study. You can come to my house on Sunday nights if you're a young adult. We do it Sunday nights at 7 o'clock. And you can get fed then. But when you come to church, you come to corporately worship God, not corporately worship yourself and your problems in the week. We all have problems during the week. None is greater than the other. I want to see joyful faces walking into that door because they know they're coming to experience the presence of God and worship him. And when somebody does come in mourning because they've had too hard of a week, because let's be honest, sometimes it can be really rough and we do need each other, then we all can be there for that person and lift them up as soon as they walk in the door because the presence of God is resting at the entrance. And as soon as they walk in, they're wrecked with his presence and his love and his joy because it's in every single one of you. If the majority of us don't have it, it's hard to give it to someone else. So I want to challenge you with, why do you come to church? Why are you here? I challenged my youth with this. Why do you come here? Is it to get out of the house? Is it to make yourself look good to your peers? Is it to fulfill a self-felt obligation, like I'm supposed to go to church, so I'm going to just be there? Or are you here because God is here? Because he's here right now. He's here right now with you. If you don't know it, then you're missing it. He's in this building because Brad has cultivated this with the elders, with Jeff, with so many people here. Oh my goodness. They have cultivated such a wonderful place to be. If you're not feeling God in this place, it's not our fault. It's yours. We are here worshiping our God. You hear me. I'm sure you hear Brad singing up front. You hear some people in the back, you know, getting loud. I heard somebody who had a shaker today. Who was it? That was awesome. That blessed me so much to hear that. You may not be able to lift your voice or may not desire to, but you got a shaker and you're making some noise and joining in on worship. Praise God. That is awesome. And if you have to be silent and intercede for somebody or intercede for the church service and find out what's God doing here, then praise God for you too. It doesn't have to look the same. You can sit in your seat and worship God. You can stand up. You can hoot and holler. You can flag all these things that people do that I want to see every single one of you do. I don't want it to be a select few, because we all are the church, not 10 of us, not 30 of us, not 20 of us, not 50 of us, but all of us. Every single one of you in the church, if I'm worshiping and you're not, my heart's grieved, because I want you to worship with me because you have such a great God. And He's there for you. He's giving you kidneys. He's healing you. He's giving you finances. He's blessing you. What don't you have to rejoice about? You're alive. You're alive. Are we alive?
Yeah.
Amy, are you going to play the song? You can come up and start playing. There, the I love worship so much. I love praising. When I am with God, my life is so much better. And when I'm not, man, I'm grumpy, depressed, irritable. I love this song that they're about to play. I actually asked if she would play it today, and she kindly obliged. And you guys heard it before. It's New Wine. But the chorus is just so powerful. I came here with nothing, but all You have given me. Singing out to God, I came here with nothing, but all You have given me. Jesus, make new wine out of me. So as we enter into this time of worship, just challenge yourself. What am I here for? Am I here to be with God and worship Him? Praise God. I want to hug every single one of you right now. Give me a hug. I got to hug my wife, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's so wonderful. One thing before I forget, Tessa has a graduation party at 3 o'clock. Everybody remember that. Anyways, join into this song. Really join into it. The music, the instruments are wonderful. It's beautiful to listen to them, but it's really the words. The instruments bring you into the presence, but the words really speak. If you don't know the words of a song, you should learn them, especially if it's a praise song. And you should actually contemplate what those words mean, not just sing them. Don't be mindless. Don't be repetitive, mindlessly. So enter into this time of worship and worship our one true God that saved every single one of us, that paid the ransom on that cross for us, that shed His blood for you so that you could actually be selfish sometimes when you're not supposed to be. He loves you and it will never stop. Third.